Hello and welcome to the Business Show podcast here on Radio Newark and in collaboration with Newark Business Club. My name is Simon Gabitas and I'm one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by the fantastic, talented... of course, I am joined by the amazing Michael Hardy. Michael, hello, how are you?
Hi, Simon. I'm fantastic as ever and always great to be with such a suave and cool guy like yourself.
through gritted teeth, he said that. So, it feels like 2 minutes since we were last here in this studio. Time flies, obviously, when we're having fun. But yeah, it really does feel like it was just a couple of days ago that we were doing this last time.
It's crackers, isn't it?
Here loads has happened, though. Loads has happened, and we've got loads to talk about today as well. So, what is happening on today's show?
So, coming up on today's show, we've got last month's meeting highlights. We're also going to talk about the Business Show Big Quiz, which is a new feature that I've devised to test Simon's knowledge.
Delighted,
business.
Absolutely delighted for this new feature.
We've got business grants for you. So we're working with the council to bring you some up-to-date grants that are available for businesses in the area. We're going to get a synopsis of Who Gives a Book by yourself, Simon. And then a little later, we're delighted to have Mark Degnan and Liam Reed from Barcode Warehouse, our patrons and guest interviewers this month.
Yeah, no, it should be good. Fantastic to get some more guests on the show. So, yes, I guess let's have a look at what happened last month. So we're talking
before
about...
Before we do that, Simon.
Oh, no.
Before we do that.
More quiz?
No. Question? I just, obviously... In between the last recording and today, the great radio DJ Steve Wright passed,
of course,
very sadly. And part of that, obviously, is a lot of outpouring of grief, and there's a couple of things there. We always talk about people who've passed in shining words and say so much, and there's part of me that always thinks, I hope you've told them these things when they're alive, because actually, you know, don't miss the boat of telling people how great they are while they're about.
Sure.
But the other bit is there was something there from what Steve gave in terms of hints and tips to radio DJs. So I thought it was apt as ourselves as new podcasters and on the radio. But also, if you read these things, it's probably something that in life and in business it's worth thinking about. So if you don't mind, I'd just like to run through what they are.
Go for it.
Good job you didn't say yes, I do mind. Okay, so the first thing is think ahead and always know what you're going to do next.
Oh,
exactly. Know the equipment inside out and never mention it, because you're the expert, so, you know, or have an expert like we have next door.
Yeah, that helps.
Avoid pluralism. Always talk direct to the one listener. So that's important. Always have surplus material in reserves in case you dry up. So remember that for next time anyway. Have pegs in your program, things you always do, and always do them. And you'll have known from some of the prep I've done this time that maybe we've got some things that hopefully people will enjoy and want to listen in the future for. Work out different phrases, different ways of saying the same thing to vary the most common things you say. And having listened to the first episode, I'm sure you'll have heard a few things that you say, and I certainly recognised a few I say.
I think we started copying each other about that.
Never refer to anything that is personally visual only to you. They don't care if the sun is shining outside or there are a dozen people in the control room with you. So just remember that. By the way, the sun's not shining.
Definitely not.
Keep energy up, especially in the last 10 minutes of the programme. Pitch it high and have curves, draw them in. And if you can't think of anything to say, say nothing. Just play another record. But we're not playing records, so that might be a bit difficult.
On that note, I think that was great. I feel under more pressure now, actually, because I'm now going and thinking about all the things that I'm saying and doing. And yes, we have done some more prep this month, though.
We have. But yeah, I just thought that, and there's a lot of things, as I say, that cross over into business about, you know, planning ahead, thinking about who you're talking to. Don't have something generic because everybody's different. Everybody's looking for a different way of being communicated with. So that's really important.
Failing to plan is planning to fail.
Oh, there we go.
Mr. Quote. Fantastic. No, thank you for that. I think, no, that is apt. And yes, for what we're doing today and for business in general. So, yeah, good. I like that. Sure. Good start to the show. I feel like, yeah, we should maybe do something similar each month, although that puts us under more pressure.
Yeah, well, as Steve says, do it and do it again.
Indeed. So what happened at the February Breakfast Club meeting? That was what we were going to talk about. And we had quite a lot happen actually in the meeting. We had the meeting was sponsored by the Masquerade Charity Ball. So that is a collaboration between the Children's Bereavement Centre and Newark Emmaus Trust. That was a ball that I've been to for the last couple of years. It's a fantastic event. They've got a band that come across called Jax. Brilliant, brilliant band. And actually, they all swap. So the guitarist becomes the vocalist then plays the drums. It's brilliant to watch. And actually, they're a very talented bunch. So definitely worth getting across. They do a big charity auction as well. So I think, again, get in touch with the guys at the Children's Bereavement Centre or Newark Emmaus Trust. I think they've still got some tickets available.
Do you know the date for that?
26th of April.
Very well remembered.
Is that actually the date?
I think it is, yeah.
I think so. I hope so. I'll revise at some point and have a look. But yeah, 26th of April, I think, and we will be going again this year. But yeah, get in touch with those guys if you want some more information. We actually had one of our patron sponsors. So the guys that are going to be with us later on in the show, Barcode Warehouse, and Mark Degnan came across and talked to us, gave us a bit of a history lesson on the Barcode Warehouse, which was great, and filled us in on a bit of a background for those that didn't know about the company and what they do. We gave away a book, so we'll talk about that in a while. We did some table networking, and then Sharon Marriott from Newark Advertiser, iLift Media Group, introduced the Newark Business Awards for 2024. So nominations are now open for that. They close on the
22nd of March.
I think they've updated it on the website. I think it's the 29th of March.
The 29th is when you have to have your full application in.
Then I will chat to them because there might be something wrong on their website. But unless they've changed it, they might have updated it for another week. But towards the end of March, you have to nominate either yourself or what we said at the last business club meeting is if you have received some great service or you know that a business has done a great job or is doing a great job, go and nominate them because it's such a great feeling when completely out of the blue, you get an email that says you have been nominated for this business award. And yeah, I just think that it's a great, great evening, great celebration of business in and around the Newark area. The actual event that is in June is a dinner and a massive celebration. So yeah, if you can get involved with it in one way or another, please do. And please go and nominate other people. That's our plea today anyway.
Yeah, I think if everybody listening to this goes and nominates one other business person or one other business, that'd be fantastic.
Be brilliant. And I think there are so many amazing businesses in and around the area. There must be one at least that you can go and nominate. And it literally takes you a couple of minutes to go and do it. So head over to the Newark Business Awards website and you can do that directly online.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I'm not sure what's going to happen next. And you've been winding me up about your quiz. Your business quiz. And I said, look, do I get any insight? Do I know? Can I find that? And you said, no. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, again, I was thinking about how we can make this an informative session. Yeah, it's obviously bringing some news and information to the local business world. And one of the ways to do that is to create a quiz, because usually if you ask some questions, then hopefully gets people thinking about the answer. And since you're opposite me here, I thought, well, if I ask the questions and you answer them, then we can maybe talk about why that's important for businesses, if that's relevant. Or we can just ritually humiliate you on a monthly basis as to how little you know about business.
Which is what I thought you were going to aim to do.
No, not at all. Not at all, Simon. So hopefully not too difficult this month. I thought we'd start off fairly straightforward. So this month's Business Show Big Quiz, question number one.
How do you spell business?
So, what is the latest rate of inflation?
Michael, really?
Yeah, it's really important for business owners to understand inflation in their business and in the wider market.
0.5%.
Inflation is currently running at 4%.
Oh. increase.
No, inflation is 4%. The latest inflation is 4%.
That's how much it's gone up?
Year on year. Sorry. This is probably not making great podcast or radio listening as I chuckle in the corner.
I think I might actually put my team off listening to this.
So inflation, yeah, it's a mark of a basket of goods that they monitor on a month-by-month basis.
Sure.
And they look at the rate of inflation year on year to understand how much it's gone up or down and is affecting the cash in your pocket.
Not a good answer by me.
And 4% is actually really good compared to where it's been, because it's been double digit for quite a while last year. The Bank of England are set a target to keep it at 2%, because growth is good, but obviously too much growth puts real pressure on the pound in your pocket. The real positive news for people at home is that food inflation is only at minus 0.4%. So that's actually starting to come down. So.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's kind of more the angle I was going with.
But for business owners, keeping an eye on inflation is really important, because costs of goods in what you do and where you buy from, inflation is just an average. And obviously certain areas, it's a lot higher than that and potentially a lot lower than that. But when you're selling your goods and your services, the cost of what it to put on your services, whether that's fuel in your car, whether it's the raw materials, is really important, because your margins will go down quite quickly if you're not careful.
And to caveat my horrendous answer there, I'm just going to say that we'd negotiated some really good rates with most of our suppliers, and therefore I know that the 4% is the average, but yeah, we kept it down a little bit lower in our business.
Okay, well done, Simon. On the ball, as ever. The second question, and the second question was supposed to be...
the easier one.
No, the harder one. So unfortunately, the Body Shop went out of business in the last month, went into receivership. And there's a couple of things on that, because there's a lot of talk about that the business has been sold two or three times since Anita Roderick first opened and left the business. And obviously she sadly died since then. But again, within that, they'd lost some of their vision and values had gone from the business. So they'd changed quite a lot, and therefore they'd lost a lot of their customers, because they'd changed how they were seeing themselves. But the question for today is something that is slightly at a tangent, but...
What is my favourite face cream that I've ever purchased from the Body Shop?
No, well, if there's anybody I know who would know that, that would be you. But no, what year did she open her first store in Brighton?
Oh, is it the 80s?
No.
A lot earlier?
Silence doesn't work in a
podcast. 1963.
I'd like to say you're a 1 year out, but you weren't. 1976.
Okay.
So 1976, the Body Shop started with a single shop in Brighton. So, and unfortunately, last month went into receivership. But there we go. So that's the end of the first business show big quiz. And I'm delighted to say that out of two, Simon is currently on a big fat zero. And we're definitely going to continue this moving forward.
I think it's a fantastic feature. I'm going to go and gen up on all sorts of things. I'm not sure I would have got the Body Shop one ever.
No.
But yeah, no, good feature. I like it. Humiliate me more. Send me some more questions.
Always happy to do that. So we're now going to talk about grants. So... I was in contact with Will Parkinson at New England Sherwood District Council, and they have a really great service of looking for grants for businesses, which is something that is really difficult to find grants and really difficult to access them without knowledge and support. And the council do that as a free service. So I said to Will, look, why don't we pick two or three to talk about on the podcast, and then point people in the direction of the council to help people look for grants, because I think that's really important.
Yeah, they're really good
for local businesses. So I've got three to talk about today. The first one is an SWEF business grant. Don't know what that stands for. Doesn't matter. This is a grant for up to £2,000 available for young entrepreneurs aged between 18 and 30 to start or grow their business. Applications can only be from sole traders and limited companies that have been trading for less than 2 years. And the grant is to aid with expenses such as the purchase of equipment or machinery or the printing of marketing material. Applications are open all year round and will be considered on a periodic basis. One local entrepreneur who applied was awarded £1,160 to buy a portable sink, a massage couch, essential oils and a mini fridge to help her set up a treatment room in the newer Beacon. So it's very relevant for those 18 to 30 year olds who are looking to start their own business, which is fantastic.
I love the idea of this. I think it's great. I think encouraging young entrepreneurs to set something up, to give them access to a little bit of funding to start that, I think it's a great idea. We've been speaking about that as a committee for the business club for a while. And actually, yeah, to be able to access that from the council for the grant is great.
Yeah. And you know, I didn't know about this. I mean, how crackers is that? I had no idea this was available. £2,000 is not a lot of money, but it can really help a young person start a business.
It's a catalyst, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It can it can certainly help. And how do they, I'm sure you'll tell us probably at the end actually, but how are people accessing this and who do they contact then?
So Will Parkinson, so I've got his email address, but Will at the council, so contact him and he will happily help and he will also look at any other grants that are available.
Amazing. So right, grant number two.
Grant number two is an Industrial Energy Transformation Fund.
Is there not an acronym?
There probably is, but I'm just looking at it thinking, do I want to read that out? This is a fund to support businesses in England and Wales, Northern Ireland, with high energy use to cut their bills, emissions through increased energy efficiency and transition to low carbon processes. Hmm. This is quite a big grant because the minimum grant threshold will be £75,000.
So okay.
SMEs, and yep. It's always interesting when people talk about SMEs and obviously SMEs go up to 250 million turnover. So that's quite a big company for some of us in the Newark area. And there will also be match funding requirements within that. So you will have to invest yourself. This isn't a full grant as the first one was. The fund will be to allocate grants towards projects as feasibility studies, energy efficient technologies and decarbonisation technologies. The fund is managed by the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero. And the window will open until the 19th of April. And then there'll be another window later this year. So I suspect for 75,000 that you might be a bit time pushed for the 19th of April, because although that's 6-8 weeks away, you'll probably have to do quite a bit of work. But there is another window later in the year. So again, if you're a SME who's looking to cut your energy bills and do some work on reducing your carbon emissions, then this could be a great opportunity for you.
Yeah, I think the positive thing is that we're now aware of some of this. We're in conversation with the council. And I think, you know, certainly as a business club, we've always said we want to be a bit of a conduit between the council. We want to provide information. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if we can provide that, then great.
And the final one is for Creative Catalyst. Now, this has actually got a short timeline and Will and I debated about putting this on, but actually it could be a real great opportunity for some of our creative businesses in the local area, because this is for micro and small businesses in creative industry sector, tailored support to grow your business. The aim of the competition, which it is to support growth of untapped innovative businesses and increase investment in creative talent across the UK. The support will provide targeted and continuous support to develop projects that propel business growth plans. Applicants can claim, easy for me to say, 100% of the eligible project costs up to £50,000. And subsectors being supported but not limited to are advertising, marketing, architecture, crafts, design, fashion, publishing, radio and TV. And this is operated by Innovate UK. So again, so in that creative space, some really good opportunities to get some grants to help businesses grow and really deliver.
I will keep in touch with the team. That's part of the economic growth team, isn't it?
Yep.
Lincolnshire District Council. And just keep putting information about these grants to people listening.
Yeah, and Will's email is will.parkinson@newark-sherwooddc.gov.uk. But we'll put that out on our social media. And also, if you just get hold of Newark and Sherwood District Council and ask for Will Parkinson, they'll be able to put you through. So,
love it.
Great. Thank you. Hopefully that's of interest and use for some of our local listeners.
Sounds, yeah, absolutely. I think I'd still love the idea of that young entrepreneurs.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's just a shame you've got to be 18, otherwise I'd get the kids on it.
Yeah, and you're just a bit too old for the 30. So
all right. right. We're going to go and have a look at our Who Gives a Book. So last month at the Breakfast Club meeting, we gave a book away. The idea behind the Who Gives a Book is we want to share knowledge in the room. So we've asked that people that are members, people that are visiting the business club, recommend books to us. We will then go and buy hard copies of those books, and we will give one out during the meeting. So at the last meeting, the book that was recommended to us was Your Key to Happiness and Success, The Power of Positive Thinking, which is by Winifred Calvert-Davis and Dennis Lodge Rohr. And it's a book on personal development. It says in the opening page, you have the power to transform your life, and the aim of this book is to show you how to use it. It's recommended by Lisa and John Davies of Get the Edge. And the winner, who was drawn from the business card bowl, was Ros Andrews of RA Book Editing. So she got a copy of this. And the idea after that is we've said, if you take value from it, if you think that you know, it could be valuable for other people, then please go and share that book. Pass it around in the room. And, you know, hopefully over the next few years, we kind of said, certainly while I was chair of the business club, that we could have 50, 60, 70 people that have all read a new book, all learned something new. And you never know, that little nugget of information might change your life in some little way, shape or form.
Yeah. And something you've brought to the club as chair is something different. And it's certainly got people talking. And I know you've got quite a lot of books now waiting to give away, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, when I said that we wanted book recommendations, the idea was that we would go out and buy a book. But people keep turning up with physical books and then expecting me to store them. So I'm going to need a new bookcase, I think, in the office so that I can go and put them to one side. But I think I've got about 10 or 12 books that have actually physically been given to me. So we might have to start doubling up at some point during the meetings and giving more than one book out.
I love the fact that you're encouraging people to share the books almost, so Newark Business Club Library almost is starting.
Well, we actually had, so we have got a couple of authors, I think probably more than two actually, in the room that tend to come to the meetings. And one of them actually said to someone else, he said, I don't want you passing my book around because I want you to buy another copy. Anyway,
yeah, absolutely.
We'll buy some more copies.
Brilliant. Yeah, but that's a great thing that we do, and something that we will continue to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. Action group.
Yes.
We've got some action group updates. So, action group meeting.
Yeah, we've had our latest action group meeting, and we always meet in the pub. It's a great place to meet. And it's the organ grinder who look after us on, which is part of the Blue Monkey group. So it's a great venue. We've got a quiet room in the back so we can have a drink and chat about everything that's going on within the Newark area.
What's that room called, Michael?
It's the Monkey Room.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, it's perfect for monkeying around. And yeah, so really important that we have sort of real good group of guys who come and support us, and they do some of the heavy lifting in terms of looking into some of the areas like planning and transport and retail that we talk about. But we would like to encourage other people to come down, because we believe that the action group is there for business owners to support them with challenges in the local area. And I think we've said before, being the conduit of, we've got lots of connections through the district council, and, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, etc. So we can bring people together if you're struggling to find a solution. I know we've talked before about one particular business that we help, but actually I noticed that Hardy's Farm has had their resubmission approved for some work that they're having done out at Hardy's Farm at Farndon. And I know that Holly and I had had a conversation, and I'd introduced her to a couple of people in the council to help a bit of advice. And I'm certainly not a planning expert, but I know people who are, and we can bring them together to hopefully get an outcome that's beneficial for the whole community and the business especially. So
good, good, good. And so, just for clarity, Hardy's Farm Shop is no connection to Michael Hardy.
No, nothing whatsoever. Although the first time I drove into Newark and saw Hardy's Farm, I thought,
I'm at home.
This is for me. But this month we've also talked about transport and trains. So there's an annual seminar at Trent Bridge where East Midland Railways give an update on what's going on. We went down there last month. And they talked about that their passenger numbers are at 82% of pre-COVID and 76% of revenue, which is quite interesting. And there is a few challenges that we talked about for the train specifically and this type of business in general regarding obviously strikes at the moment. So how's that impacting and people's not being able to plan ahead too often? And also there's some challenges around their guards and checking of tickets and stuff. So there's some challenges we're having because most of the railways and certainly East Midlands are funded by central government now. So they always talk about ROIs, return on investment, which very important for businesses, obviously. But when the governments are asking for that, if you're not able to capture all your data, then that's going to be really difficult to prove one way or another whether something is worth carrying on. And within that, the strategy of the business club within the railways is to get two trains per hour between Nottingham, Newark and Lincoln. And that's a big ask. I mean, we haven't even got a train per hour right the way through the day at the moment. So to move up to two trains per hour is a big stretch. But we believe that Newark and its connectivity should have that. So we're working hard and we're continuing to have that as part of our strategic view within the East Midlands Railways. So, and I think this Friday, there's a Nottingham and Lincoln stakeholder board where we're reassessing and re-put forward our request for those. So it's a long-term request, but if we don't have that as our where we want to get to, then we won't get there. So
excellent.
And I know something that we've been involved in for quite some time, the Cultural Heart of Newark, which has changed its name to the Town Centre Partnership, or TCP.
N-C-P. No, not N. Newark Town Centre Partnership, yeah, NTCP.
And that's to look at how they spend the money that's come through the town's fund for the Market Square and the surrounding areas. So
actually, I think it is just the kind of Market Square.
Yeah.
So they did have, I was able to go to the engagement meeting actually last week and just understand more about some of the plans moving forward. Like you say, it is a kind of newly set up piece of work and project that the council are actually they're helping to put together, but it's turning from what it was, a council-led project.
Bottom-up. It's led by people who are on the ground and actually working and living in the environment that it's trying to make a difference in, so which is the right way to do it.
Yeah, and you've got Penny Taylor from the college, yep, who is going to be chairing that. Andrew Fern, is it,
yep,
from the Church. Newark Parish Church?
Yep,
who's going to be vice chair? And yeah, there's some energy, a lot of energy. I think there was about 40 plus people in the room, businesses that were interested in finding out more about what's happening, how it's going to work. Again, I mean, it is specifically, from what I understand, going to be about what's happening in the centre. So it's the Market Square, but it's the businesses around there that can then work off that. So if there's an initiative happening, if there's something that's going on, then actually businesses can say, right, I want to do something around that same weekend to showcase my business, to jump on the back of that. So yeah, there's some good opportunities there and hopefully lots of people trying to kind of build some momentum in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is when we first started with the Cultural Heart, which has progressed, it was a 3-year project and we're already into the third year of that. And I know through local press you'll have seen something about making decisions whether we're going to have the Newark beach or whether we have the Newark events in terms of music, etc. And actually, that's about what works best to bring people in to spend money in the local retail and hospitality community. And also, it's about how we take this from not just these last 2 years and this year, which is the third year, but what do we do into the future? How do we create a long-term plan that's sustainable for Newark to bring people in and to make it a more vibrant town centre offering that gets people wanting to come in on a regular basis?
Yeah, and I think there is a huge amount of stuff that's happening. I got to hear from Ian Harrison, who's the kind of market manager.
Yep.
For the town council, and him and the team appear to be doing a great job and pulling lots of stuff together. I think there was certainly three pages of PowerPoint slides of events that are happening in 2024. But I think, you know, one of the kind of collective bits of feedback from some of the businesses in the room was that they didn't know that some of these things were happening. Some of these things are fairly big events. And I suppose that is part of what's happening here at the Town Centre Partnership. It's about that communication. It's about making sure that we do maximise those efforts. Because if we're going to have events happen in the centre of Newark, we want as many people visiting as possible, but yeah. It's not just visiting for that event. Stick around, go and spend some money in a cafe, go and spend some money in an independent shop, hopefully, yeah. And spend some more time in the square of Newark.
Yeah, and let's be frank, if the retailers don't know what's going on, how are our consumers going to know? Because if the people who are actually working in that environment don't know we've got these events on, how do the people who we're trying to bring in know about them? And that's something that we've been talking about for a long time within this group, is the communication, actually the marketing spend, and how we actually engage people to, as you say, the businesses, but then their customers and the wider community. Because this is about bringing more people, not just from Fernwood and Farndon, but actually from Lincoln and Nottingham and Southwell into our community. And we know when people from those areas come in and they actually experience what Newark has to offer, they're blown away. We have a fantastic offering of independent retailers, independent hospitality, just the market square.
Even the market traders.
Absolutely.
And people go, there's not a huge amount happening on the market square. There is a lot more happening on that market square than in a lot of other places around the country.
Absolutely. I think the stat that keeps going back is we've got more Grade 1 listed buildings than York.
That's a great fact, isn't it?
Yeah. And we, you know, we all take things for granted that's right in front of our nose sometimes, and we sort of see it every day. And I think sometimes getting people who come from afar in and giving you the right perspective makes a big difference.
Well, I think kind of pre-kids, me and my wife spent quite a lot of time travelling around the UK trying to find historic market towns to visit. And then we realised we lived in one. and actually, it is a lovely place. Yeah. And I think we've heard it from people that visit the business club who haven't gone and visited the market square either ever or for a long, long time. And it's about, yeah, if we can give them a reason to do that, but then a reason to then come back again and again and revisit is what we're trying to do. And that's going to be great for Newark as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's part of the NTCP, and we're all part of that. And the next action group meeting is the 25th of March, Monday evening, 6 p.m., at the Organ Grinder again. So please come along and have your say and help us to be the action group that makes a difference for you and for the community.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Sounds like you practiced that. Yeah. You didn't.
No.
Excellent stuff. So we are going to talk about what's happening at the March breakfast meeting for yes. the business club. Now, it may be that you are listening to this podcast before. It might be that you're listening on the way to the business club, because this, of course, is going to be going out on Radio Newark 6 until 7 on the first Friday of every month, which is before the business club meeting. So you might be listening to us on your way over now. So if you are, we'll see you soon.
Good morning. And it was quite interesting last month, the first play, and there I was, as I am, in the cold outside, a bit shivering. And so
the
many
best car park attendant ever.
So many people were going, oh, I've just been listening to you on the radio, and it's like a bit surreal. And so yes, that was great.
They were like, I couldn't wait to get out of the car. Yeah.
You made the journey so much quicker. But yeah, so it's good to speak to people and get direct feedback.
Absolutely. So, happening today, if you're listening, happening at the March meeting. The meeting is sponsored by Lawnmaster.
He does grass.
He does grass. So we'll be hearing from Ian Stevens. I can tell you that he's been growing some grass. I've got to be really careful about what I say here. So he has sent me pictures of some pots of grass, which he has grown to show what he can do, what he can achieve. He's also sent me, he's actually the most organized meeting sponsor ever. So he sent me his presentation about 4 weeks in advance. And then kept checking to make sure it worked properly and it was okay. And I said, don't worry, we're 4 weeks away. We'll check it and make sure. Looking through his presentation, there's lots of fantastic examples of what he does. So, and I know he's really excited about sponsoring. And it's this time of the year, which is really important because, yeah, what he does, as you say, is he does grass. And he will talk to us about how he can do that for you. We're going to go to, we've got Charity of the Quarter presentation. So at the last meeting, Daniel Otten managed to choose, well, we managed to randomly choose three charities. So I think we've got 22 charities that are part of the Charity of the Quarter initiative that we've got now. And he managed to pull three charities. It was Ducks, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Ducks with numbers on.
Ducks with numbers on.
Relevant numbers.
We did say we had no idea what he was actually going to do.
No.
So we got three charities and good causes and initiatives. So we've got Beaumont House, the YMCA Newark and Sherwood, and then Barnby Road Academy Community Wellbeing Group. So we're going to hear from all three of those. They will get 5 minutes to tell everyone about who they are, what they do, maybe what they could do with. And I think the important thing here, we've said before, it's not always money. People sometimes need volunteers, sometimes they need trustees or people to oversee what's happening. And it's good to hear what's happening with some of those charities and some of the ways that we can all help in our own little way. So we're going to hear from those three. And at the it'll be the end of the break, won't it? We give everyone a token and we ask everyone to vote for their favourite charity or their chosen charity for that quarter. And that charity will then get a cash donation, which is made up from Newark Business Club and then also Roundtable Newark and District. So that's a total at the moment of £600. So that will go to the charity that is chosen that gets the most tokens. And that will be announced at the meeting. So we do that now. We get people to vote during the break. And then at the end of the meeting, you will find out who the charity of the quarter is.
And I think, you know, you said there about it's not just about the cash. The cash is important for charities, especially at the moment where we know that charity donation is down, driven by inflation.
I was just about to say, yeah. So inflation is, it's currently about 4%, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's putting a pressure in people's hard-earned cash. So giving to charity becomes a bit more squeezed. But actually, it's quite often you'll see one or even two or three charities on stage that are local charities that I've never heard of. And this the list of this month, obviously YMCA and Beaumont House are well known, but the Barnby Road Academy Community Wellbeing Group, I'd never heard of, and we were talking beforehand about what they do and how they help the community, actually where we're sat here in Barnby Road School. And that's really fantastic. So it's just learning about these opportunities locally to support charities and obviously the money, but it's a great initiative.
Yeah, and as a business club, we wanted to try and provide a way to be fair to all the different charities. There's lots of charities in the area. Some have got bigger marketing spend and budgets than others. Some have got more resource than others. So this was an equal way that we can pick out three charities every quarter that get to present. And that 5 minutes might change a whole bunch of things. Like I say, we've had people before who've come in and they've said, look, we are desperate for additional people to join the team. And by the end of the meeting, they've got two or three people that are saying, I'll come and help you. So it's a really, really good opportunity and a really good audience to be talking to.
Absolutely.
We're going to do some table networking, as we always do. So a good time to just chat to the people around your table, tell them about who you are, what you do. We've also got another Who Gives a Book. So I might have one. I might have two. I might have to, actually. So we'll find out a bit more about that. But yeah, we'll be giving at least one book away at the meeting. And then we're going to ask some the people at the meeting, we're going to do a bit of a have your say bit. And we're going to be asking for some feedback from the people in the room. We want to know more about what works for you in your business club, what maybe you'd like more of, less of. So we'd like to get a bit of feedback as well. So we're going to be doing that in the room. We've also got some QR codes to scan so that you can go and do that digitally afterwards and fill in an online form. And this is all about just getting some feedback from people that are visiting that meeting to make sure that we're adding value for you.
Yeah, and obviously we'll share it with our wider members who maybe not make this specific meeting, because not everybody can make this meeting.
Why is that, Michael?
Well, because of business meetings or other things that crop up in their diary.
Do most business meetings occur when you're stood on skis?
They can do. Can be a really good way of networking with individuals.
I propose a committee meeting in the Alps.
I think you'll get complete buy-in, if I'm honest. So that's not a problem. But it's important, you know, we talk about the action group, we talk about charities, we talk about the networking. Actually, what does Newark Business Club mean to you? And what do you want to see more of and what do you want to see less of? Please don't say the podcast, because we'd be very upset. But yeah.
The business quiz, I'm not sure that's working.
I think it's working fine. So yeah, so it's really important, because, you know, we want to make sure that the business club in its entirety is working for the local community, which is, you know, something we've said before, isn't it? We're for the community. We're not talking on their behalf. We're helping them. We're a conduit. We're, you know, sharing information.
Yes. Right. It's now time to welcome our guests. So it's a big welcome to Mark Degnan and Liam Reed from the Barcode Warehouse. Great to see you both. Welcome. How are you both?
Very good. Thank you. Hello.
Good to have you with us. So Barcode Warehouse are one of the patron sponsors for Newark Business Club. And before we get into your individual roles and what you do for the Barcode Warehouse, I wanted to talk about the company. So Mark, you came over to the business club meeting in February. You did the 10 minute speaker slot for us and provided some information, I suppose. You also dispelled the idea that you manage a warehouse that's full of floating barcodes as well.
Yeah, I think the bit that gets me is when you speak to people, that is often the first question they ask me, which is, what do you guys do? Is it just a warehouse full of barcodes? So I thought, you know, as you saw when I did the little session at the business club, I kind of wanted to get across a little bit about what we do, but a little bit about the journey we've been on and how we got from, you know, where we started out in 1987 to what we do now, and sort of how different the business is in that time, really.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask. So a lot of people won't know some of that history. So back in 1987, it's slightly different business. It was a business that was set up by Ross Lee, the current chairman of the business, and his daughter Jolie, who many local people will know as well. They set up a business making self-adhesive labels from the kitchen table. Is that right?
Yeah, so Ross was he got made redundant from his previous role, and he decided to make plain white sticky white labels. Can't call them stickers. Self-adhesive labels. If you're in the business,
and the business back then wasn't the Barcode Warehouse, was it?
No. So it started out as Trent Valley Labels, and just making labels, and that's what they did. And they made labels, and they went around and sold them almost door to door in that respect, really, because everyone needs labels to stick on things and write on it, you know, what's in the box, I guess. So, but it didn't take them long before they realised that maybe there's a bit more to it than that.
And of course, those labels then need to be printed, and you guys were in a great place to start selling those printers.
Yeah, so I think people very quickly got bored of writing on the labels and realised, you know, maybe there's a better way of doing this. And so back then we got asked, you know, Do we do that as well? Do we do the printers? Can they print barcodes on them? Do we know anything about the scanners that you apparently need to scan these barcodes? And of course, it all sort of spiraled out from there. And you know, it wasn't long before we were involved in everything to do with barcodes, really.
But someone still has that original TVL number plate somewhere in the business, right?
TVL1.
TVL1
is
it
still
on a van somewhere?
Is still proudly displayed on the current vehicle of the guy who knows the most about labels in the world, as far as I can tell.
It's true.
Who will demand that you call them self-adhesive labels, of course.
Only ever call them stickers in front of me. Only ever call them self-adhesive labels.
And then 1999, you became the Barcode Warehouse.
Yeah, so by then we had begun our journey into all things barcode. And suddenly Trent Valley Labels just didn't really do it. So we went through a rebrand exercise and that was it. The Barcode Warehouse was born. Everything and anything to do with barcodes and the tracking of items through the use of scanning, really. So,
I suppose one of the things I wanted to talk about, some of the achievements, you mentioned it when you spoke at the business club, but 2006 saw you guys deploy the largest number of mobile handsets devices in Europe. Is that right?
Yeah. So whilst we got into printing and scanning barcodes, actually, what we were seeing is people were more and more starting to use mobile scanners and you know, equivalent of really a rugged mobile phone at that point in warehouses and then out and about delivering parcels. It's pretty much everywhere now, but at that time it was still quite new. And we were engaged to do the largest rollout in Europe of said handhelds, putting the software on them, labeling them up, getting them ready to go out and then deploying them. And it was a huge achievement for the Barcode Warehouse, and it really sprung us onto the next step of our evolution in that business, really.
And talking about that earlier on, I think you said, was it 27,500 mobile devices?
Just over that, yeah.
Well, hang on. You have a number for me in your head, don't you? You know exactly how many.
I think when you've done something like that, and we lived it, we really, really lived that project. 27,969
Wow.
Is in my head forever, I'm afraid.
Tattoo somewhere. I love it. And shortly after, your building at the time was opened by, at the time, it was the CEO of Royal Mail Group, Adam Crozier. I do understand that we are in the presence of someone that might have held the ribbon on that opening day.
Absolutely, claim to fame.
Orange ribbon?
I think it was an orange ribbon, yeah. I'm not even in the photo, you just see the ribbon and my hand.
So Mark's got the 27,969 kind of tattooed on him, and you've still got a framed little bit of that ribbon somewhere.
Absolutely.
Great achievement. And obviously to have someone like Adam Crozier open the building shows, because at the time you were obviously working with Royal Mail Group to deliver solutions for them as well. What a big kind of supplier you guys were to them, which must have been brilliant.
I think it really says something when you get the CEO of such a major business coming to open your new building for you. I think it just shows you the strength of the relationship we had with them and still do. We are still in there supplying exactly the same services to them, even this many years later. So I think that says something for the job that we do, hopefully.
That's great. And so fast forward, 2014, you opened Enterprise House. That was the second building. And then 2021, you opened Newton House. So one of the things that I suppose links into roles and what you guys have been up to and your individual responsibilities at the Barcode Warehouse, Newton House was home to the Ice Centre, which isn't what we actually think it might be. So in the same way that Barcode Warehouse isn't a warehouse full of floating barcodes, the Ice Centre is not somewhere where I can take my old Bauer 90s pop into the rink. The Ice Centre is what?
So the Ice Centre is our innovation and customer experience centre. So effectively, yeah, when our owner and chairman decided to purchase the third building, he had a vision of creating a solution centre, which at the time was, I think the view was more to have we resell a lot of technology and different products and to give our customers and our end users the ability to come and test and try this out. But as it got closer to sort of being prepared and ready and open to actually start kitting the centre out, it sort of evolved over that period of planning to go, actually, we can do something a little bit different with this place. We can have the technology and people can touch and feel it and scan things or print labels. But actually, how do we build that into a wider solution that helps businesses address problems that they might have or aspirations to grow and how technology can assist that in their sort of digital transformation? So now it's an experience centre where it's divided into various sort of vertical sectors, whether you're in a warehousing environment, a transport and logistics environment, or retail, etc., and can come and try out the latest and greatest technologies as well as some sort of more future technologies that are not necessarily cutting edge at the moment, but are still early adoption, in that early adoption phase where people are still trying it out and seeing what works and what doesn't work. So it's you know, within the year that we've officially, well, under a year now that we've been open, it's been nothing short of a success and continues that evolution of the story that we've, you know, the journey we've been on with Barcode since, well, 87.
Yeah, and it is really an impressive area. I suppose if people are listening to this and they have got projects, whether it be, you mentioned obviously warehousing, whether it be tracking projects, things that actually, you know, relate to that, can they book in and can they come and see the experience center?
Yeah, absolutely. So we, you know, through our sales team, obviously we can create a relationship with certain partners and certain companies that are locally based and arrange specific dates. And that's the real sort of benefit of the center, is to tailor an experience around that customer and what they're trying to do, rather than, you know, throw things at the wall and see what sticks sort of approach. But we also offer on certain days of the month, normally Mondays and Fridays, what we class as a drop-in day, where businesses can either just arrive at 10:30 in the morning and be shown around the centre, where it is a little bit more of an overview, or booking for something more specific. But we're here for everyone.
Sounds good. So we talked about kind of delving into your particular role. So Mark, first, your role at the Barcode Warehouse?
So I'm the technical services director. So it doesn't really, again, like the Barcode Warehouse, when you know what it means, makes perfect sense. But I'll explain a little bit. A lot of what we deliver is services based. So all of the looking after equipment for customers once they've got it out in the field, fixing it if it breaks, and just making sure that they get the maximum uptime out of their equipment. So I look after all the teams that do all of that, from when we initially send it out, when we bring it back if they've broken it, when we manage the repair for them, if we need to go to site and fix it, all of those moving parts, that all comes under my remit. So, and the teams are very heavily focused on making sure that the customer can just carry on doing their business. That's our sole reason for existing in that space, is, you know, we want you to just carry on doing what you're doing. Are you fixing boilers? Are you delivering parcels? Are you helping patient outcomes? You know, well, let us do the hard work behind keeping your equipment going and let you get on with doing what you do best. So that's what we're there for, yeah.
And I think we talked earlier on, that's what sets you apart as a business. It's that overall service that you provide, that now means that you're a leading technology provider, a managed service provider, not just in the UK, but you're also into Europe as well now.
Yeah, so we've had a number of customers who have a European reach, and we work very closely with them in the UK. And what they found is that the services we offer, they just can't get outside of the UK. So they've actually asked us and partnered with us to say, can you help us in Europe as well? And so now we deliver the same services that we deliver from here in Newark right across Europe through a network of partners, France, Poland, Romania, Spain, Portugal,
we even have deployments over in Macau in China and South Africa and places that we're still managing a very similar service to what we offer in the UK. So
all from that kitchen table in 1987.
That's it.
And Liam, tell us a bit more about your role.
So I am the Technology and Innovation Director for Barcode Warehouse. So my role's relatively new based on the opening of the Innovation Centre. So my role was originally designing what we were going to put into the Innovation Centre and how we were going to make that work. So we spent 12-ish months researching, talking to partners, begging for technology, etc., to try and build the centre into what it is today. And then we opened last June, as I mentioned earlier. So we've been open around 9-10 months now, and it's about evolving what we do there. So what started off as bringing customers in is now working with the team that we've built up around designing solutions that fix customers' problems. So we have solutions architects that go out on the road and go and visit customers, you know, immerse themselves in that customer's operation to try and understand what it is they do. And then we bring that back in to the centre so we can, as I said earlier, tailor that experience. So when the customers do arrive and they do come in, it's all relevant to what they're looking for. And sometimes we'll throw in some other things that they might not have considered. And that's quite the exciting part of it all. But it's about growing sort of we're an auto ID business that focuses on scanning, printing, etc. So we're never going to move away from that because that's our core. But what other technologies are out there that are close enough that we can bring into the portfolio, and to what Mark does, wrap services around it means that we can not only just provide the technology, we provide the end-to-end solution.
Excellent. And before we started talking earlier on, Michael and I, we were talking about business values. So a kind of aside to the technology, the stuff that you guys do, I think you guys described it as behaviours, is that right, in the business?
Yeah, so we started looking at what our company culture is and what we want it to be. And we spent a lot of time with the staff, a lot of time talking to them about what sort of place do they want to work in, and are we that sort of place? What are the good bits? What are some of the bits we might want to work on? And from that, we came up with our values. But really, we described them as behaviours. So, you know, positive attitude, collaboration, innovation, you know, striving to achieve. And we've embodied it in six particular key behaviours that we look for when we're recruiting.
Okay.
We look for during the appraisals, and we look for people to explain how they meet those behaviours in the way they go about their work, the way they work with their colleagues, the way they work with the customers and suppliers. And it's really about driving, you know, that the culture of the business so that it's a really great place to work, and, you know, everybody is working towards that single place where we all want a great business, great for the customers, great for the business. Fantastic place to work, really. That's what we're aiming for.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and I mean, when you said earlier about the presentation you did at last month's meeting, and I think when we get people like yourselves on stage and talking to the room, there's so many people who don't know what's really going on behind the business sort of wall, if you like, and it's really great to open that up. And I think seeing the journey from the kitchen table, which Simon's mentioned, is an inspiration to other businesses locally who are probably very early in their journey, and they sort of look at yourselves and go, big business, you know, they must have started a lot bigger than they really did. And actually you can go from a kitchen table to, you know, a business like your own. And I think with the right vision, the right values, the right focus of what you really can point a difference make, then I think that's inspirational to local businesses and the type of message we want to keep getting across to businesses in the room.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's what I was trying to get across, I guess, yeah, which is, you know, we didn't start out with this huge cash investment. Mm. We didn't start out with the 300 people we have now. Yeah. You know, we've done that. We knew where we wanted to go. We've followed that dream. We've chased it relentlessly. Yeah. And actually, you know, I was hoping to get across the point that you can do it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because we've done it, yeah, and we continue to strive to get better and better and better. You know, I think anybody can. Yeah.
Yeah. Focus on the things that you know are important to your customers, have the right behaviors, the right values, and have a vision that you can focus on even on the tough days and keep striving towards that.
Yeah. And I think having that shared vision, you know, making sure that everybody in the business understands the vision and that we're all working towards it, you know, I think that's a huge help in driving the whole business forward, rather than, you know, and we've experienced difficult times in the business where, you know, different people want perhaps different things from it, and you've got to work hard to bring everybody back together and go, what are we going after? Because we can't go after everything.
Yeah.
Where are we going? But I think, you know, that comes back to the collaboration, you know, it's one of our key things now, which is we must collaborate well.
Yes.
Because otherwise we're fighting each other and not driving forwards together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. No, and that certainly came across.
I think having that entrepreneurial spirit that started the business back in 87 as well, you know, start something, build on it, say yes, then work out how you're going to do it. And that's been, you know, for want of a better term, the driving force behind it. It goes back to the behaviours. We've always had good people that have helped deliver and push the business forward, essentially. And I think that continues to this day. And, you know, we don't just say yes to everything, to Mark's point as well, which is, you know, we go after what's sensible and what's going to help the business grow. But it is that determination that we're going to deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that entrepreneurial spirit, like you say, is really, really important. You have a chairman that is still very actively involved in the business today, even what, 35, 36 years on, still wanting to go into work and chase the next thing. And go after it, which is, again, inspirational. Mark and Liam, thank you so much for joining us on the business show today. Thank you for being a patron sponsor of the Business Club as well. We really appreciate your support. And yeah, if you'd like some more information, then obviously you can get in touch with the team over at Barcode Warehouse, get in touch with Mark and Liam, and go for a tour of his ice centre.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. So, any other business from you, Michael?
Well, the only other business was the business awards, but we have talked about that. The one thing I will say is on the 22nd of March at 9 a.m, there's a workshop being run by the business club to help you with your application. So it's how to create a winning business award application.
When was that, sorry?
22nd of March, 9 a.m.
March.
9 a.m. at the YMCA. It's free. It's on the business club Facebook event. So go along, tag yourself in as going, and then we'll send all the details out a bit closer to the time. But it's a really good, well-honed workshop, which we've run for about 3 years now. And it's just gets your mind thinking in the right way before you fill in the application. Because the problem is we're all very British and we don't like talking about ourselves and don't want to tell our story in the way that we need to get the judges on side. And the other bit is if you write a really good application, it actually becomes a bit of marketing and a bit of PR and some real great social media. So 22nd of March at the YMCA, please come along.
And as we said earlier on, if you know a business that has done a great job, that does a great job, then please go and nominate them for a Newark Business Award.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for listening. And Simon, you've done well today, except for the quiz.
Yeah. Can we redo that bit? Can I redo that bit? No. Thank you very much for listening to the Business Show podcast here on Radio Newark. And we look forward to chatting to you again next month.
Take care.
Bye for now.